Good evening. Subway in Australia now admitting that the drought-induced tomato shortage has reached the point where they can't even put tomatoes on your sandwich. But we very much hope you enjoy the other fresh vegetables. That's just the latest example of retail establishments putting it right in consumers' faces as the continuing blows to modern agriculture in the grand solar minimum cause shortages that are just undeniable. They're increasingly in your face. So looking back, last year we discussed and documented here on the crop loss map France's severe fruit and orchard losses due to the late April frosts. That has happened again this year. It's another example of these growing zones shifting, like the Prince Edward Island farmers who are just giving up on potatoes. They can't grow them anymore. France, 40% of the apricot harvest has been affected by frost. The sudden temperature drop last week, which we'll talk more about shortly here, caused significant damage to the apricot orchards. This has farmers worried, as indeed in 2017, 85% of the harvest was lost, and last year it was 70%. So to have 40% off the top again this year is a bad deal, and they're going to be questioning whether they're even able to grow these things going forward. As I said, that frost across Europe had other effects. In Poland, freezing temperatures in Poland have resulted in damaged crops. The extent of the damage is still unknown, and they seem very reticent to try and quantify that here. There's some damage to the blueberry plants for sure. It could be anything. It's too early to assess other damages. It could be anything between 10 and 40%. But, quote, for sure something was destroyed by the frost. We'll find out in the future months, and then we'll see this frozen apple from Poland. Pretty crazy picture to behold. Swiss asparagus also suffering. Quote, because of the cooler weather, the Swiss asparagus hardly grew at all. The retail offerings are therefore small. We probably won't be harvesting this Easter weekend either. So no Swiss asparagus. In Lebanon, right now, a late April snow and hail has come, which has caused blocked roads, some accidents and crop damage across the nation. Here's one of those farms that's been snowed in, and we read that multiple roads were blocked and crops suffered damages across the country Sunday due to snow and hail. It's expected to subside. Farmers were worried that fruit-bearing trees will be damaged if the temperatures drop further. So again, we're seeing the same patterns across these growing zones across the globe. We saw Jammu and Kashmir lose 80% of their apple orchards there due to the frosts. And colder weather again. Look at this. This is May 1st from the GFS. So more cold air coming certainly to the UK. Hang in there, David. And I hope things go well for you. Be advised, though, those patterns are. There's still some craziness coming. In the US, flipping to North America here, how to cope with a cold and soggy planting season. Indeed, if you can plant at all, we were seeing from Oregon here, potato farmers scrambling after long winter delays planting. And I'll go ahead and read from the article, quote, potato farmers are getting a late start on their crops because of a long winter and record snowfall in East Oregon and Washington. Normally, farmers start planting at the end of April, but this year the ground was frozen or flooded much later than usual. We weren't able to start planting until April 1st. Now we are scrambling to cram 2.5 months worth of planting into 1 month. Although, folks, while I am confident that the growing seasons are getting more difficult and shorter, I'm also very confident that our farmers, especially here in the US of A, work miracles. Man, last year I watched them do this. I watched them plant months worth of plantings in a very short amount of time. So more power to the farmers. But they are growing. You know, there's only so much you can do with technology and with their ingenuity and their work ethic, which is amazing. You're still going to be reaching the limits of modern agriculture. And again, we're doing so. Planting crops delayed again. Weather is not promising in Indiana. That's why we saw the futures market reacting. Corn rising in trading. And let's keep going. In Canada, food prices are rising substantially already. In fact, let me skip a little bit because we've talked in the past about how it was the cold conditions in, here it is, quote, there's been a lot of rain and cold in the U.S., especially in California, temperatures at night too low. This affected production of cauliflower, broccoli, bell peppers, lettuce, tomatoes. And so That's now bearing fruit, if you'll pardon the expression. In Canada, the inflation rate is nearly 2%. And that is largely due, let me skip down here, to food. Food was a big reason for the jump in inflation, as the price of fresh vegetables has risen by nearly 16% in the past year, while fruit prices are up by almost 9%. That's massive. 16% year over year. Apples, 14%, oranges, and so on. I'm not going to read them all. Food price inflation has accelerated, and we know why. It's because, as we just saw, conditions in the U.S., growing zones are too cold and wet. Now, the media is working overtime. Let me do a couple quick case studies in rewriting this story and in giving you excuses and distractions on which to blame these things. So we've watched in California as headlines like this, wind, fire, and ash from the wildfires destroy much of California's avocado crop. We were then forced to source it from Mexico, where we get most of our avocados anyway. But this year, holy guacamole, Mexican fuel shortage is causing an avocado shortage due to logistics failures. We can't get those avocados to market here in the States. But now, suddenly in April, no, it's Trump's fault. And it was his threats to close the border. Trump's threats push up the Mexican avocado prices the most in nearly a decade, jumping 34%, which is a huge jump, biggest in a decade, as I said. And why? It's because of amid fears of the shortage if the U.S.-Mexico border closes. So they're using this ridiculous Trump excuse and saying it's speculative. It's because he might close the border, so we're going to raise prices on avocados. Never mind the other headlines there. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal is all too happy to provide yet another excuse. Yeah, it's because of omega-3s. It's because of diets, right? Everyone's eating keto and all these other diets. So it's your avocados and your olives are, it's because fat is in fashion. And that's simply not the case. There are some articles disproving that. And certainly it's not because, you know, Italy just lost more than half of their olive harvest. That's not why olive prices are rising, Wall Street Journal. That's not why olives and avocados are going up. So this is ridiculous. On its face, you and I have been watching these crop losses play out, and we know that it was the beast from the east and then the drought last year that caused UK food prices to rise. It's not because of Brexit uncertainty. This is the media having its way with the unthinking public. And I welcome you here to think critically about what's going on, because they're not doing that. Arizona food prices, just more of this, up by more than $2 compared to last quarter of 2018. That's a rapid increase. Rising beef prices are pushing up the cost of eating at home. We've been watching meat prices rise. JP Morgan blaming Argentina's red meat for their spike in inflation. And we read that the main culprit in that inflation is red meat. This is not surprising, as we are in the midst of the global protein shortage, largely because of China's bout with African swine fever. All of these things are conspiring to force the establishment to really change the way that people perceive food. We're selling ugly produce, which I completely support, but the trend I'm showing here is that we can take ugly food, the hailstorm heroes, all of these guys, the cockroach milk, and shift consumer expectations. In fact, here's the Daily Mail. You can probably eat those green potatoes. You can definitely eat that moldy bread, according to a food scientist. And in fact, supermarkets are beginning to remove best before dates to tackle that problem. So consumer expectations and consumer perceptions are being managed here, as we need to let people eat that moldy bread. We just don't have enough, right? We've seen Germany wheat harvest go, they're now a net importer. So this is what's going to be done. We're going to very tightly manage people's perceptions. And BBC, who had only recently asked what happens when we run out of food, is now talking about, again, would you eat your insects if that's going to save the planet? This is a half an hour mini documentary about growing protein. So they continue to harp on the cockroach milk and on the insects and how bad meat is for the environment. Instead, folks, we need to be growing our own food and taking control ourselves of our own food supply. That is the way. I wanted to feature today from growbiointensive.org. They have an entire section of free e-publications here that are fantastic. They're high quality. They talk about the biointensive method, double digging, and how they do their compost, everything that you could be hoping to learn. I've mentioned John Jeevan's How to Grow More Food Than You Ever Imagined. And these are some of the related materials. They're totally free. So I wanted to drop a link to growbiointensive.org. Also, a couple resources that I've added to the Ice Age Farmer Wiki. This is a list of seeds and how long they stay viable. Now, this is based on good storage, right? Cool, dark, dry place. And it's still just a good rule of thumb. But someone had asked for this, and so I wanted to add it to wiki.iceagefarmer.com, as well. After the conversation with Brent from Canada, I added this, a little bit of a Brix scale guide to the wiki. So this is going to give you some feedback as far as where, for various crops you may be growing, your Brix values tend to measure up. What about you, folks? What steps are you taking to grow your own food as we enter more difficult growing seasons ahead? Let me know. Send me a note, christian@iceagefarmer.com. You've now heard from farmers in Canada and Indiana and the Ozarks over the last week. And I'm serious when I say I want to hear from you. So please reach out, or if you know a farmer, even if they're having a great year, I'd still love to hear from them and document that. This is not, you know, I don't have a bias here. I want the truth is my bias. So please reach out. Again, christian@iceagefarmer.com. I hope you're doing well and building great things to support abundance in the future. Thanks for watching. Take care, folks.